Declaration of War, November 25th, 1984. It is a dark and dismal time in the history of our race. An evil shadow has fallen across our once fair land. A certain vile, alien people have taken control of our country. When the day comes, we will not ask whether you swung to the right or whether you swung to the left. We will simply swing you by the neck. This is war.
The right-wing sect which declared war on the United States government in 1984 had many names. The Brüder Schweigen, German for Solid Brotherhood, the White American Bastion, and the Order. Former members revealed that a special order assassination squad plotted to kill the heads of three commercial television networks, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, and television producer Norman Lear, among others. The unquestioned leader of the order was Bob Matthews, a well-liked lumberjack from upstate Washington. After more than a year of tracking Matthews, FBI agents surrounded him in an island hideout near Seattle. During the shootout on December 6, 1984, the house caught fire. When it was over, Matthews was dead. After the fire, FBI agents launched a nationwide manhunt for Matthews' followers.
In spite of Matthews' death and the arrests of his supporters, agitation persists for a militant, separate, Aryan nation. Order members say that the war has just begun.
Bob really one hell of a man. And imagine a man that would die for his beliefs. There's very few men like that today.
Bruce Carroll Pierce was the FBI's most wanted man until his arrest. He was also the order's second in command.
Just because Bob died or we've had some deaths in the past or had some setbacks, I don't believe by any means that the movement is over or that our goals will not be accomplished.
The order was a secret army striking out at a federal government that was vulnerable to armed attack.
The government's weak. The government is pathetically weak. This government is so weak right now that if 5,000 men of any race, of any consequence, any type of philosophical fundamentalism stood up for the federal government, that we have 5,000 men who would die right now. Right now, what we believe in, government can do nothing about it.
People are surprised at what's going on, and I think it's a situation you have to report. Guys like Matthews and others declared war on what they call the ZOG, the Zionist Occupational Government. When that happened, you saw the Fed begin to scramble.
It was the robbery of a Briggs truck in Ukiah, California in July 1984 when the order made off with $3.6 million that drew the FBI's full attention. At the same time, Secret Service agents caught several members trying to pass counterfeit bills. After his arrest, a friend became a government informant.
I believe that those men are prisoners of war. And I would support them as prisoners of war.
Tom Metzger is one of the most popular leaders on the ultra-right. While media attention was fixed on the trial of order members in Seattle, from his home and headquarters in Fallbrook, California, an hour's drive from San Diego, Metzger continued to recruit for his organization, War.
This is a time of rapid communication, and we must be on the cutting edge of technology like anyone else. We like it because it reaches into maybe every home in the United States where there's a computer. Every young person that is into computers, and there are millions across the United States, and they tend to be sharp kids with these computers in their bedroom, and they can log on and get all this information.
To attract others to his program, Metzger also set up 24-hour telephone hotlines in 8 cities, including Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco.
Why are the Jews and their supporters so afraid of free speech if they try to terrorize their critics into silence?
Metzger also has a television talk show aired on community access cable television.
The reason that show dedicated to free speech.
When FBI agents moved in on the order, members were within a few weeks of cracking Brink Central Vault here in San Francisco. With more than $30 million, they could have bought and outfitted an army.
I need my own state. I need my own nation. I need to have my own schools for my daughter, for my son, for my family.
When Nero tried to persecute the Christians in the Roman times, it did not eradicate them. And I do not believe it will eradicate us.
Just a few will be enough to reignite the spark for us to rise again. It's not over by any means. It's just the start.
We enjoin all people to choose intelligently which side they will be on.
White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is Tom Metzger in the bunker. Terrible Tommy right here in north central Indiana, where it's raining again today. And if you don't believe in some type of climate change by now, I don't know what to tell you. We may disagree on exactly what's causing it, but it's here. And like I tell my friends, if it rains like this, if we have this type of precipitation into December, November, every day, we're going to be 10 foot deep in snow this next winter. Boy, I'll tell you, you better have your chopper ready on the pad to get out of town. We are at P.O. Box, the infamous Box 401, used to be Box 65, out there in Fallbrook. We had for, 25 or 30 years? Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's Box 401, and that's where you send it to Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And don't you find it interesting that the first three letters of Warsaw is war, and that's our location? How about that? It's sort of ironic, isn't it? And that's where you send your donations for the radio show. And I think about everybody has gotten theirs in this month, so that we really appreciate that. Like I told you yesterday, I think I've got some money orders laying here. I got to get addressed and get them off to some POWs. And that's the way that goes. So anyhow, it's off to the races, man. Well, it's interesting to see how the right-wing conservative types, especially the Christian types, are pedaling their bicycles backwards and trying to escape the label of racist, especially many down south. I know that there's one well-known broadcaster that has a show on Sirius, a radio every day. He happens to be a very firm Catholic, which is not the normal thing in that part of the country in the South, but he is going along now with the progressive liberal ideas on race, that it's all skin. And how can you judge somebody just because of the color of their skin? Well, now, I cannot fathom how anyone with a discerning mind, of using any logic at all, can be so stupid as to think that we, in talking about blacks, are talking about just skin color. Because there are people in the world who are very dark. There's a lot of them in India. Tall, they have actually Aryan features, but they're black as the ace of spades. And many of them are sharp as hell. And so we would not take that away from them. But the Negro, a true Negro, if you're saying that just because he lives in a white culture, white society, a European society, and he is able to ape this culture, that somehow he is equal in everything and should be accepted as our brethren and our neighbor and our son-in-law and so forth, you got to be out of your mind. Or you've been so brainwashed by these race mixers that you will buy almost anything. The worst part of it is that we know that a majority of people, whether subconsciously or consciously, are racist. And they work it out every day they do. But our problem is not so much that difference of opinion. Our problem is hypocrisy. The people that really know the difference. And you cannot tell me that so many scientists at the top, people that are really sharp, don't understand totally the racial divide and through genetics and so forth. No, the reason is the ones who really know and could blow the lid off things just don't have the guts to come out in the open and say it. And in some ways, you can't blame them, because here they are, they're making a living for their family, they're writing books and so forth. And if they say anything that would lead these maniacs, so-called diversity, which is not diversity at all, if they said anything that would perturb these people, their whole career is shot. Like today, even to say anything positive about the Confederate flag is suicide. This is like a wildfire. It's going to run its way. I mean, they're going to take all these flags or whatever out of the stores, the Walmarts, everything. And what about these guys that got the Confederate flag tattooed on their back? And poor old Hank Williams Jr., who had his picture right in the middle of a Confederate flag on his albums and so forth. In fact, I remember I'm trying to remember the name of the band now, that was it Confederate Railroad or one of those that used to always open their shows with a giant Confederate flag behind them, and they were super popular in the 70s and 80s, and thousands and thousands of young white people thronged to their concerts. And now what are they going to do about all that? They got to go back. See, this is what you call a witch hunt. But, of course, witch hunts are always carried on supposedly for good and honest reasons. Every witch hunt that ever was, at the basis, was supposed to be something good. You know, even when they were burning the witches in Christ Insanity, early America, it was for a good reason. They were getting rid of the devil. And this church, Frank Church, I think is his name, it's got this show, he actually is still talking about Satan and the devil. And you can hear that all over the airwaves. And so their excuse on everything is, we got to drive out the devil and Satan. He's hiding around every corner. And they take on the fervor of a, you know, Southern Baptist preacher, or Torquemada, the Jew who tortured thousands of people in Spain, pretending to be a Christian, but he was actually a Jew. This is what comes out of it. Now, we do this. Now, if you think that's something on an individual basis, look at what we're doing. The United States has taken on the fundamentalist Christian ideology of the Crusades. And even George Bush said it was the new Crusades. We're going to go into Iraq and wipe out every one of those Muslims. And, of course, on the other side, the Muslims say, we're going to go into here and wipe out all the non-Muslims and even the Muslims that don't agree with us. And the Christians have done that, too. So our whole foreign policy now is based on this. We're bringing goodness to the world. The communists used to say this way: if you're a country that resists our coming to you with communism, then you're resisting a nirvana, a wonderful thing, and trying to keep it away from the public at large, the working class, and so you're the aggressor. If you say, we don't want your communism, then you're going against our striving to bring goodness to the world. Now, capitalism does the same thing, but they cloak it a little differently. So anyhow, that's it's unbelievable. Now, this church brought out a few things that you can use that... talking about fanaticism, George Washington and the people around him in Virginia evidently made his soldiers, officers, sign a letter that they would resist the Roman Catholic religion and run the Roman Catholics out of Virginia or wherever this happened. And so nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about the religious fervor of driving the British sympathizers out of the colonies by burning their houses and killing them and torching them. They had flee for their lives up into Canada just because they felt that, we think we ought to stay with Great Britain. So you got to stay out of the way of some of this stuff, because once they get a roll on, now they're going to they're trying to get a hold of us, you know, every one of us. Maybe they will sooner or later, because who knows? You know, I remember being swept up into the anti-communist struggle, and it became so fanatical that we saw communists under every bed, when in fact the best thing that could have been done was to not outlaw the Communist Party, because they were a little teeny party. They weren't going anywhere. There was no way that the Communist Party was going to take over the United States, but yet the anti-communist movement did more to go against the freedom of Americans to speak their mind and believe what they wanted to believe than the communists did. But it was all for a good thing, and I figured that out years later, that it was a moral, almost a religious crusade, and I was right in the middle of it, and boy, I tell you, I was looking for those communists everywhere. Meanwhile, the race mixers were destroying our race, which was the main plank of the Communist Party, that's for sure. Moscow's plan to race mix the whites in America was one of their main plans, and they did put a lot of money into that. That was one area where they were successful and very super dangerous. I've talked to blacks who used to be with the Communist Party and had left the Communist Party and joined up with the John Birch Society. And I talked to them at length about how they were trained by Moscow agents to spread race mixing. And they were given a lot of money to develop parties and drinking parties and debauchery and so forth to get white people and black people mixing. And so Leonard, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, he was a great big, he'd been a longshoreman as a member of the Communist Party, Leonard something. He was about 6'4", a giant black guy. But anyhow, that's it. They're just, it's like a forest fire. I believe it's going to have to be just leave it go till it burns itself out. These kind of, now they go every week. They've got a national emergency about something, you know, whether it's the Confederate flag or whether it's some gal that said she's white, she's black, or black and she's white, or every week at least two or three of these crazy stories comes up. And that's why I'm thrilled with Donald Trump out there, because he's using their tactics back at him. He just say, what the hell, you guys are crazy. And I hope he gets right up in there to where he can debate these bastards, because, you know, it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but there's a lot of good stuff he's saying, you know. And it scares the bejesus out of these other candidates, because they're trying to cross the T's and dot the I's on everything and not step one iota out of line. But Trump don't give a shit. He's, you know, I'm not like Trump, because he's a multimillionaire, maybe a billionaire, but I'm that way. I say what I want to say, wherever I'm at and what for, and I don't make apologies to anyone, and I'm the freest white man in North America as far as I'm concerned. And as far as slavery and all that kind of stuff, you know, Oregon was one of the most racist states in the United States for the longest time. A lot of people don't realize that. Oregon didn't allow Negroes in clear up into the 20s, and they still had problems in the 30s. And here in Indiana, you know, we had laws to keep Negroes out, or they could only get in if they had a white man sign for them for labor, put them on a job and things like that. So before they start throwing stones at the South, northern states better look under their tables too, that's for sure. I think I told you the other day, I was called by this reporter in Washington. Obviously a young girl, didn't know shit from Shinola, but She was pretending to be a reporter. Talked to her for about 45 minutes, and I could tell she wasn't writing. I could tell she wasn't writing down what I was saying. She just wanted the old right-wing claptrap so she could just regurgitate it, or me saying something so bizarre that she could put it out on the headline news. But I don't know. I don't remember who she was working for or where she went or what came of it or anything. I don't think anything ever comes of it. It's a waste of time to talk to these people because they're not smart. You know, everybody thinks a reporter should have some intelligence, but the United States press is not only stupid, they're made to be stupid by the corporate power and the religion or whatever's got the power to do it. Everybody in these other countries that I listen to their people talking about the United States, I know on Russia TV, where they get on there. Crosstalk is a good show if you can get it on your computer, which you should be able to. And they go on and on. Even American reporters will go on there and say, it's hopeless. This propaganda machine in the United States is just plain hopeless to get any truth at all out of them. Now, if you'll check into, let's see, what is the name of it? Talkwalker News. Yeah, Talkwalker Alerts, and they seem to cover more racial stuff than anybody, a lot of other people do. And it just, this insanity, this zoo is just overflowing under neo-Nazi. North Charleston police officer fired for posting photo on Facebook of, I don't even know what it was, but anyhow, I'm just going to go through some of this stuff. And let's see here, op-ed from Oak Creek to Charleston, houses of worship under attack. As a Sikh American, this act of violence was all too familiar to me. I recall the events of August the 5th when neo-Nazis entered a Sikh Gurdwara in Oak Creek in Wisconsin and shot 10 worshipers. Wow. Next story, 60 photos of foot posing with neo-Nazi and white supremacist symbols, no doubt remaining that his goal. Dylan Roof poses on the beach with 1488, a neo-Nazi symbol. Roof, not just a white supremacist. These are all just headings. You can punch in and then read the whole article, but I'm not going to do that. Police swoop in race hate arrest ahead of the Golders Green Nazi Party rally to a blog post concerning the neo-Nazi GG demonstration on July 4th. This is in the UK. The latest in a long line of hateful neo-Nazi web content linked to the July 4th demonstration. Let's see here. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm losing my place here. Never patriotic, the real meaning of the Confederate flag. Southerners prominent in the Klan and in neo-Nazi organizations for decades have never ceased to manifest their Confederacy. Stormfront, the notorious neo-Nazi website founded by Don Black, continues to promote the mythology. Another article here, a neo-Nazi. But if that is the opinion of some people, they have the right to opine that a Christian is just as prejudiced as a neo-Nazi. Why would a gay person want to be married by a neo-Nazi? Well, I don't know. I'm not even going to open up these articles because it goes on and on. Greece will continue to prosecute the leaders of the neo-Nazi Golden Dawn. UK Nazis invite Galloway to address rally. I think the cops are going to shut that one down. America's Original Sin Attack, did William Lewis Corporon, Reed Griffin Underwood, Terry Lamanno, a neo-Nazi and former member of the KKK, shot and killed these three last year simply because they were in the parking lot of the Jewish Community Center. That must be about Glenn Miller. Yeah, so anyhow, it goes on and on and on. Hundreds of them. Now, this is it. Now, one thing, you should watch your security around your house if people know that your racial beliefs, especially if you're in an urban area. Out here, it's doubtful that it would reach out this far, but now that we've got a real, you know, a real massive propaganda going here for the race mixers, there may be some of them that decide to take the law into their own hands, man, and do the wonderful, great work of the baby Jesus and take a shot at you. So watch it. Of course, I keep, I should remind you, there's going to be pushback on this thing. Yeah, because there's still millions of people out there who are, you know, just below the skin are racist. And or they just don't like to see the way this is a lopsided program. And so stand by for pushback. It's going to be an interesting election coming up, and going to be interesting to see what happens in Iowa, whether they're going to have to yap Miss Clinton. She's going to be yapping about racism all the way to the polls, and I'm sure the Republicans will be trying to keep up with her about, no, not me. I never had a racist thing in my mind. I've never said anything racist. No, not in my life. No, not me. This is an interesting one. Timothy McVeigh's, this was on some gun broker website. Timothy McVeigh's lightning quick arrest, conviction, and sentence were too neatly packaged. Well, I don't know. If he was easy to catch, he was easy to catch. Too willingly accepted by the ignorant masses. Of course, the person who wrote this is highly intelligent. He's not of the ignorant masses. And it stunk to high heaven. Tell me just one other instance of such a rapid identification and subsequent capture and resolution of any perpetrator that occurred without the scapegoating and convenient consent of the sheeple. Well, a lot of people are caught real quick after they allegedly commit a crime. It happens every day. FBI had several informants at Elohim City. Well, yeah, I know. I visited Elohim City, and the preacher who ran the place was an FBI informant. And Carol Howe from Oklahoma City was taken down there by one of our friends, which I will not forgive him for. She was a ATF who tried to even ensnare me. So there probably were several. They didn't introduce themselves to me. And like I said before, I met Strassmeyer, who they're all going on and on about, where is Strassmeyer again? Well, I don't know what happened to him, but I don't see how he could have communicated a plan to anybody, because his English was so bad I couldn't understand what the hell he was saying. He was a gate guard when I showed up there, and I couldn't understand a goddamn word he was saying. It's interesting that most of the pro-gun guys, like this gun broker website, are paddling their bicycle backwards to condemn the racists. But we have to keep our guns because it's all a government plot. Now, here's one of the many hundreds of experts to tell us about the Nazis and the people fighting against this literally totally broke government of Kiev in the Ukraine with no support. They only got about 5% of the people support them. And here they're going to go on and on about these rebels being supported by the U.S. government, and now with the so-called Hollywood Nazis involved. Listen to this. I'll bet you there's some of those NSM, maybe a few of them, that bought a ticket and went over there and got involved.
via Skype is Michel Chesedovsky. He's with the Center for Research on Globalization. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, do you think it's the NATO Secretary General's place to warn Russia against the situation in eastern Ukraine?
Well, I think NATO has the ability of turning realities upside down, because recent reports confirm that it is not Russia which is supporting the rebels, but NATO and the United States are supporting Ukraine, not only with so-called non-lethal weapons, but also with military advisors, training, and so on, and that, in fact, they are now providing core support not only to the armed forces, but also to the neo-Nazi, National Guard. And in fact, the U.S. Congress debated this issue, and they said, yes, we will support the National Guard, but we will not support the Azov Battalion. Other countries, such as Canada, are supporting the Azov Battalion, but I should say that, in effect, while the Azov Battalion has been recognized as a neo-Nazi entity, the right sector Nazi party has an oversight and control over the entire National Guard. And in recent developments, the Ukraine military has been bombing civilian areas, including schools. There's ample documents to that effect. And ironically, NATO is accusing the separatist forces of Donbass of killing their own people, so to speak, when in fact those strikes were perpetrated by Ukraine armed forces.
Right. So, Dr. Chesedovsky, basically you're saying that the U.S. and NATO have set the grounds to ensure that this grace period that there is of relative calm in eastern Ukraine is used to basically once again increase hostilities and ensure that there is no separatist movement left within eastern Ukraine. However, my question to you is, what does NATO get out of it?
Well, I think we have to look at the broader military agenda, because NATO, and when we say NATO, we are saying the United States. The United States and NATO are involved in war games on Russia's doorstep. They have several initiatives.
Well, what they get out of it is simple, selling and giving more arms and keeping these arms manufacturing plants in the United States cranking out tens of thousands of weapons, and that money goes to the stockholders of these weapons companies, and they want war, 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 and to keep it going because they're the only ones that are gaining out of the whole damn thing. This so-called neo-Nazi thing is a tempest in a teapot, and I don't know who would be stupid enough to go over there and get involved and end up, whether they intend to or not, accidentally or what, killing white Eastern Ukrainian people or even white Ukrainian soldiers. So what has that got to do with protecting and supporting the white race? It doesn't make any sense at all.
They're moving military hardware to Eastern Europe, and this serves as an act of provocation directed against the Russian Federation. And they accuse Russia, without evidence, of supporting the rebels, when in fact they have their own troops right on Russia's doorstep supporting the Ukrainian government, which is an illegitimate government. And I think there's another element which has not been understood or even reported in the media, is that the president of Ukraine, President Poroshenko, has made the statement, and is with the Ukraine Constitutional Court, that the coup directed against his predecessor Yanukovych was an illegal act and not a democratic transition. So that within Ukraine, there is a leadership, there's division within the leadership, the country is in an extreme crisis following the imposition of the IMF, deadly macroeconomic reforms, and impoverishment of large sectors of the population. And within the armed forces, there are also divisions, and there's also a movement at the grassroots to refuse to fight. In other words, not to join the armed forces, not to to be involved in a civil war in eastern Ukraine.
Right, so if Russia is the big enemy here, what do you make of that, though? Is Russia a threat to the West militarily or strategically speaking?
I think that Moscow is not a threat, neither is Beijing. And what the United States is engaged upon is a very dangerous path, because they have adopted the doctrine of preemptive war, and they are, in fact, also saying that they can use nuclear weapons against Russia on a preemptive basis. Now, that type of discourse is extremely dangerous, because it could, in fact, ignite a World War III scenario. When they say that, first of all, when they say that nuclear weapons, the new generation of nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, are harmless to civilians and can be used against non-nuclear states, and that they are also threatening Russia with nuclear weapons, and this is very clear. It's been debated in the U.S. Congress. We are at a very dangerous crossroads in our history. The unthinkable, a possible World War III scenario. And this is no longer at the level of hypothesis. It has been envisaged by decision makers in the Pentagon, and it could unleash World War III.
All right. Let's hope cooler has prevailed, though. That's Michel Chizadovsky with the Center for Research on Globalization, joining us via Skype from Montreal.
So do you see how insane these psychopaths in Washington and the Pentagon are? What was that movie that's a sort of a comedy, a sick, dark comedy about nuclear war? Came out in the 70s, I believe, maybe even the 60s. Something about how I came to love the bomb. I mean, this is those people on there, we laughed our ass off at those people that were playing in that movie, but that's exactly the way they act in Washington. It's exactly the way they're acting in the Pentagon, and doing their best to follow the instructions of the oligarchs who are spreading war just for war's sake, and to hopefully pick up the goodies and rob countries of what they got. So, I mean, do you laugh or do you cry about things like this? Because these guys are out of control. We can't afford this government. We can't afford this federal government. We never should have had it in the first place. I am opposed to it. The biggest piece of government I want to see is the state-level government, and that I don't even trust unless we can surround the state capital with armed troops. But the bulk of the population is doing absolutely nothing, talking about nothing. They're like they're all totally asleep, instead of being tens of thousands of people demonstrating in Washington. There's nothing happening. Here's an article of white right-wing Americans present a far greater terror threat to the United States and individuals linked to the Al-Qaeda or ISIL extremist groups, according to a new study. What study? Whose study? Most of the terror attacks carried out on U.S. soil since September 11, 2001, attacks have been committed by white supremacists and radical anti-government groups, according to the... Oh, that's right. I covered this yesterday. New America Foundation. And guess who that was? Bush and Cheney. That's their baby, the one that got us into Iraq and the whole Middle Eastern thing in the first place. Well, no, the most dangerous people in the United States, as far as terrorists are concerned, are in the Pentagon and in the war-making machinery and in Congress, who rubber stamps everything, every military adventure that goes on in the White House and the president. They're all psychopathic, insane. They're insane. I mean, there's no other word for it. And for them to call the pot black, once in a while a Watt Supremus uncorks and lets them have it, and that is to identify the biggest problem in the country, while our government and military are blowing the shit out of hundreds of thousands of people all over the world and all that kind of stuff. Talk about Christ insanity, or insanity period. And then you go to the other side, it's the Muslim insanity. And luckily, I guess the Buddhists aren't getting too excited yet, but I see they're even uprising some in Western China. Well, this Christian fanatic Ted Cruz, who's running for president, whose father's a preacher, I guess, Republican presidential candidate and Senator Ted Cruz, says U.S. Supreme Court decisions approving Obamacare, which I say, wait a minute, what are people going to do with a thoroughly corrupt medical system in this country? What choice do they have? Everybody keeps saying this Obamacare is no good, but I have personally seen these medical bills go through the roof to the insurance companies over relatively minor things, and I've seen it myself. So with a corrupt medical system and a really corrupt drug system, what do you expect people to grab onto anything they can, you know? And, of course, he says legalizing same-sex marriages across the country have brought the darkest 24 hours in America's history. Well, the United States can survive their same-sex marriages. We're going to go through a certain number of decades to where this is going to be a popular thing. Look at me, look at me. And I'm kissing a guy and we're getting married, you know, and everybody go, oh, the Christians will go. Hardcore Christians go, oh, but it'll gradually become, the fad will gradually fade as the reality breaks through to a lot of these people that are marrying same sex, that they're going to have the same problems, if not more problems, than heterosexuals. So if he believes that this is the darkest 24 hours because of this same sex bullshit, that's just to keep your mind off the impending doom of a nuclear war. Well, it's interesting that ISIS or somebody over there knocked off about 15 British sunbathers on the Tunisian beaches. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Of course, all the politicians in Britain are going to be gnashing their teeth and wringing their hands and we're going to get even all that, so you might as well get ready to see British troops storming the beaches of Tunisia. Why do Britons in their right mind go over there to sunbathe on the beaches when there have been several terror attacks in Tunisia? And the one that was right next to the government building and killed a whole bunch of people. And here these people think they can go over there and lay around on the beach. Now, how can you sympathize with people that stupid? Especially white people that stupid. Of course, some of these 15 may have been Arabs that have immigrated to England and then come back to Tunisia with all their money they fleeced from the white working class to have fun in Tunisia. Well, that would be ironic, wouldn't it? Now, you can easily see that what they're wanting to get going in this country, they've already got it going in Britain. One guy over there recently called for a neo-Nazi demonstration. In other words, a pro-white demonstration. He's been arrested just for wanting to put together a pro-white demonstration. And that's exactly what they want to do here. They want to come down on you if you have a racial bumper sticker, like I had one for a while there, I profile. Now, what they're heading for is to arrest anyone saying anything like that. And that's what they're going for. Just stand by, baby. I see the Filipinos are having a national holiday going crazy because now that homosexuals can get married, I guess that's just thrilling the hell out of the Filipinos. Well, one thing it could mean is that as more Filipinos become homosexual, that they'll have less kids, and less of their kids will be coming to continental USA. So I hope that everybody in the Filipino land becomes homosexual. That's called birth control. I see quite a number of Canadians have joined this Azov battalion, this neo-Nazi battalion over there in eastern Ukraine. What I'm saying is, why don't you form your Azov battalion in Canada and the United States? Why do you, if you're a neo-Nazi, why do you have to go to the farthest reaches and you know of the world to be a neo-Nazi? Why? I know why. They're controlled, just like the Hollywood Nazis have always been controlled by the sinister forces in the Pentagon and so forth, the FBI, you name it. Listen to this from a Canadian article. I guess they're talking about the president or whatever you call him in Canada. He also said that Ukraine's image would be improved if it joined the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance and advised Kiev to redouble its efforts against anti-Semitism. The Ukrainian Defense Ministry intends to screen the hundreds of National Guardsmen being sent for training at a NATO friendship center along the Polish border, a process Kenny hoped would weed out the extremists. Me? No, I'm not a neo-Nazi. Are you kidding? Not me. I don't even have any swastika tattoos. Azov spokesman Alexander Alfrov told the Canadian press that the regiment, which started off as a National Socialist group called Patriots of Ukraine, known for praising the concept of white supremacy, why you evil bastards, also conducted screening of its recruits. During this month's discussion on defense appropriations for 2015, the House U.S. of Representatives approved bipartisan amendments to block the training of the Azov Regiment, many congressmen described as repulsive neo-Nazis. Well, hell, you could take the label Azov Regiment off of them and they'll just join up with another regiment. In fact, the worst thing, if you want to get rid of them, it's the worst thing you can do because they just infiltrate all the other regiments and just... Well, if they follow Tom Metzger's advice, they keep their mouth shut and don't ever admit to being anything, you know, a white race. I hate the fucking white race. Okay, you're in. The Azov Regiment is an ill-famed volunteer armed unit formed in the city of Mariupol on May 2014, widely criticized as a magnet for those who holding pro-white neo-Nazi beliefs, man, it's terrible. The militia adopted Wolf's Angle, also known as the Wolf's Hook, as its emblem. Wow. During World War II, how many decades ago was that? The symbol and its elements were used, by various Nazi German military units, including the SS Panzer Division. Wow. Man, that's a good reason to stop that. Hey, all you neo-Nazis from Europe and the United States, we need you back here. If you understand anything about race. However, I don't think too many of you do. You just want to go kill somebody. It's fun. It's exciting for young men to get into these things until they get their ass blown off and then come back with no arms and no legs, and then they're saying, send me $19.95 a month because I'm a hero. Sponsored by Fox TV. Well, over in Wales, a Welsh neo-Nazi right-wing extremist son of a bitch and white supremacist randomly attacked a man because he looked Asian. quote, he told police, it was irrelevant what religion he was. It was his appearance, just the way he looked. It did not matter to me what religion he was. It was his racial appearance, unquote. Speaking after the jury gave its verdict to this guy, the victim's brother, Dr. Tarlakhan Singh Barambara, said that had the racial distribution of the attack been reversed, it would have been reported as an act of terror. He said, we're in no doubt, given the racial political motivations, that this should have been rightly defined as an act of terrorism. By his own admission, the defendant, Zach Davies, had extreme neo-Nazi views and is a member of a white supremacist organization. Sarandev was singled out because of the color of his skin and his slanted eyes. The media have a responsibility and an obligation to report these aspects of the trial and to bring to force the major implications of this, unquote. But that said on the leading up to this that he tried to cut his head off. But I don't see anything in his article that says that this horrible neo-Nazi tried to cut the guy's head off. However, there's going to probably be a lot of heads cut off before this bullshit's over. I say, what's the difference, cutting somebody's heads off or putting a 45 slug in their brain? Death is death. Well, that's about all for today, because I'm drifting into an insanity situation here, which I cannot stand. Just a minute here. But I'm going to close out with the patron saint of White Aryan Resistance, now deceased, and you'll recognize him when you hear him.
Bullshit department. In the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being.
This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. Well, just between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. And by the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. If there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit, which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky, incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship, something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight. You can't see the sun at night. First thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun as it gives me everything I need. Heat, light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake, an occasional skin cancer, but hey, at least there are no crucifixions and we're not setting people on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple. There's no mystery, no miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. Doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved, hadn't said an unkind word, treats me fine. So, I worship the sun, but I don't pray to the sun. Know why? I wouldn't presume on our friendship. It's not polite. I've often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking, you know, trillions and trillions of prayers every day. Asking and pleading and begging for favors. Do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on Sunday, his day off. It's not nice. And it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot, huh? Can you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan. Gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine, but if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. Doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. Joe Pesci straighten that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now. And I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot. Same as the mojo man. Same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstition, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I might suggest a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at The Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. Has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, if there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right, tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See, nothing happened. Oh, wait, got a little cramp in my leg. And my balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again. Must have been Joe Pesci, huh? God bless Joe Pesci. Thank you all very much. Joe bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You know, that's actually does me more good than a good shot of scotch. See you tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Sunday, just like George Carlin. I revere the sun on Sunday. In fact, I revere the sun every day of the week, because if you can't depend on the sun, what can you depend on?